Is it recording?
It'd be very low.
Yeah. Well, actually, it won't work at all because this is. This has nothing going on.
Okay. So, give me a minute.
Yeah. Sure.
You're only going to have four microphones, though. Okay. We can share.
Query which one?
That's it. It's working.
Works like a champ.
At least over here. Okay. That's Jeff's. I plugged it in over here.
So where he was before?
Yep.
Oh, well. It's been a long
time. No. She checked it the first time.
Exactly.
Changes.
This one works, so it can speak into this one here.
Yeah. And you were the only one working. What'd you do to it, Stacy? Stacy broke it.
Okay, there.
Alright. Yay.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Adequate notice of this meeting to everybody except the electrician as required by Chapter 231, PL 1975, has been provided by a public notice on January 8, 2016, which was posted in the bulletin board at the Roosevelt Post Office and in the Borough Hall. The notice was published in the Times and the Asbury Park Press. Would the clerk please call the roll?
Ms. Bona.
Here.
Mr. Impelazzari.
Here.
Ms. Lapudi.
Here.
Ms. Malkin.
Here.
Mr. Ticton.
Here.
Mayor Alan Tuck.
Here. So we start out this evening with a public presentation by Anna Murray, who has been with us before, to talk about her her fun run.
Okay. I'm Anna Murray, and for the past 2 years, I did a fun run for breast cancer awareness, and the fire company has already agreed to help out, so I just need permission to do it at the school.
Would anybody like to make a motion to approve the
move to approve Anna's request.
And did we get forms last year or no?
But generally, for these kind of things, there are releases that are signed, and I think we determined last year that the school's insurance will cover this.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, generally, there usually are releases.
So we have a motion and a second.
Ms. Bona.
Aye.
Mr. Impelazzari.
Aye.
Ms. Lapudi.
Aye.
Ms. Malkin.
Aye.
Mr. Ticton.
Aye.
Congratulations, Ms. Murray. And Anna, if you'd like to come up, you can have a prize to go with your your award. There you go. And thank you very much for putting on that run. It's a very noble endeavor, and it's a very worthwhile cause. So thank you. We now move on to the mayor's report. I have none that needs to be made at this time.
Could I ask you a question? You had mentioned at the seminar, at the fire seminar that I attended on Wednesday, that we had had some interest expressed about the response to the RFP. Is there going to be a report at some point on that?
The emergency services?
For the gas station.
No, we've just had two indications of interest. We haven't put out a deadline yet.
Okay.
We just had a call from a pizzeria, and we had a call from a medical marijuana dispensary. And we'll set up initial meetings and see what they got.
Okay.
Just inquiries.
Yeah. Get the munchies.
And a discount.
Okay, thank you.
Do we have, ladies and gentlemen, any comment on the consent agenda?
I imagine you would. Why would it not?
Hmm? I'm sorry. Is he making jokes? What?
Do we have any public comment on the consent agenda? There being none, do I have a motion?
Agenda.
Do you have a second on the consent
second.
Agenda?
Second.
Would the clerk please call the roll?
Ms. Bona.
Aye.
Mr. Impelazzari.
Aye.
Ms. Lapudi.
Aye.
Ms. Malkin.
Aye.
Mr. Ticton.
Aye.
We now come to Resolution 16-101, rescinding Resolution 16-81, which authorized the Planning Board to undertake a preliminary investigation to determine whether the Borough Hall property is a redevelopment area according to the criteria in NJSA 40A:12A-5. Somebody like to introduce that?
Yeah, I'd like to introduce Resolution 16-101, which you just read.
Do we have a second?
I'll second it for the purposes of discussion.
Discussion at the table. Ms. Lapote?
Well, I plan to vote no on the resolution, but here's why. I've listened to the criticism that the council doesn't provide enough chances for the public to voice their opinion on important matters. And it seems to me that having a discussion at the planning board is another opportunity for getting public input. The planning board has our experts in land use matters. Attorney Michelle Donato has a lot of experience. Our consultant, likewise, has experience. And I'd like to hear what the experts have to say. And I think that it adds one more layer of transparency to the whole process, so I would like it to go forward.
Well, I disagree because we will be spending money for our legal and professional services. All to go towards something that just really doesn't benefit the residents in any way. I think that, you know, it's just another way. The spending in this town has been skyrocketing. We've been spending much more than we ever did for professional legal services, and this is just one more night that we will have to pay all of our professionals. And I think that it unfairly prevents voters from determining how their tax dollars are spent to keep continuing this process involving the planning board and then resulting in the referendum, which is non-binding, the ballot questions.
So. Okay. Anybody else at the table who would like to make a comment or has any questions?
I guess I have one more comment, and that is to do with the last point that you made, Peggy, and that is that the referendum is non-binding. I certainly plan to listen to how the voters vote, and I plan to implement whatever the voters say is their choice, regardless of whether I voted that way or not. I'll make that commitment.
And we are talking about substantial sums of money, regardless of what happens. No, we're talking about substantial sums of money. I'm looking at a chart of the tax consequences of these various options, and in looking at it, I see a four-bay costs us each an additional $130 a year for the next 20 years, whereas a two-bay goes from $175 to $546 per year. I think those are some important numbers. If we are required to move across 571, those numbers will increase substantially. And I think that in the interest of trying to keep down the costs, it is in the best interest of most of the town to develop on that property where we currently have the emergency services facilities.
Well, you're assuming that the question will pass to keep the fire department here.
No, if we don't keep the fire department here, then the tax rates go from additional taxes per average household will immediately go up by $176, and by the 20th year will have gone up $546.
Well,
that's a mathematical calculation by our CFO and by the bond people. So
well,
that's the number.
I don't agree that there are not alternative ways to handle this anyway without building any building.
Okay. But I'm personally not in favor of cutting off the options, and that is one of the options. And I think it was Patrick Moynihan who said everybody's entitled to an opinion,
but not to their own facts. Right. Well, you know, that works in every way.
These are the numbers. If nobody else has any comments, can we call the roll?
So, Resolution 1681.
Resolution 1681 directed the Planning Board to determine first if, or the series of resolutions, First, if the Borough Hall area, this area, including the firehouse, was blighted and was ripe for redevelopment. They had a study done. That study is being delivered to them at the next planning board. Well, they've seen it. They'll be discussing it at the next planning board meeting. We then asked them to develop a plan to go with it. So if you come back to us and say, yes, it should be redeveloped, then please give us a generic plan. So a plan that says we want you to redevelop it and you should put municipal buildings on it. Or we want you to redevelop it and you put should put a pizza parlor on it. So the planning board comes back with that to us. So the first thing, assuming that they agree that it should be a redevelopment zone, and they tell us that, then we can introduce an ordinance saying, okay, we're now designating this a redevelopment zone. The next step is, or a coterminous step is, that the planning board then says, we recommend that this be how you use the existing property. In other words, if they're going to say just the north side of the building or all of this area is redevelopment, they can then come back and say, we suggest that you build a firehouse, ambulance, emergency services, pizza parlor, whatever they recommend. So this was the process we went through years ago with the gas station property. And there was a plan for the gas station property that talks specifically about we're interested in restaurants, we're interested in brew pubs, we're interested in various community benefiting facilities. There's also, I believe, we're going to ask for a change tonight to have them amend it to include specifically, although it's not really necessary, but to dot the I's and cross the T's, specifically include borough facilities. Okay. Which, so at this point, we've put out requests for proposals. We have received, as I think Michael asked, two indications of interest, meaning we want to get some more information. We have not received anything else since then. So what we're basically doing is saying, okay, right now we can build an emergency service, we can build whatever we want on the gas station properties. And we are directing the planning board to make the changes that would allow us to do it on the existing firehouse property. Is that making sense? So the motion that's being made is to say, okay, you already asked the planning board to do this. Now rescind that and tell them not to do this.
I guess.
And I'm sorry, Jill, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, I just wanted to go on that resolution 16-101, which Peggy moved and I seconded for purposes of discussion, would stop all that.
In other words, it wouldn't be sent to the planning board. It'll just sort of stop the whole process right here.
Although it has been, so we're clear, it has been sent. They have had Tom Thomas, the planner, do the study and deliver a plan, or deliver a recommendation and study. So at this point, the work has pretty much been done.
I guess
just
that's why I'm
confused. Why are we rescinding it then?
Well, I'm voting no.
I would like to stop it at this juncture. Before, as I said, because before we incur any more costs for all this.
Well, all this incurred lots of costs related to the studies, related to the work that was necessary to maintain what we had, the trailer, the tent, the contractors to move the stuff for Peosha. There was a whole list up there. Part of which was professional fees, but a lot of which was had an impact on public works and others.
I understand.
Which had we gone forward, we would not have spent. So we're up to about $70,000 on that. About $180 a household. And since we started this whole thing, because at least from my understanding, from what was said by Ms. Parrott. She was retired and did not want our taxes to go up by $70, and we've now gone up to almost $200 for this year, and we're talking about just maintaining, continuing bleeding.
That's not what I said.
That's exactly what you said.
No,
it may not have been what you meant.
70 was incorrect. You used the term 70. Mr. Lang, at the public portion of
the net amount by which taxes would go up was $70. $155 was the total impact on budget. $70 was the amount by which it goes up. Anyway, this not being the public portion. Did you have another question? We're good?
Okay.
Yep. Would you please call
Thank
the
Thank you
board?
Very much.
Ms. Bonner?
No.
Mr. Impelazzari?
No.
Ms. Lapode?
No.
Ms. Malkin?
Yes.
Mr. Tipton?
No.
We now move to Ordinance 2016-014, so that we are clear, because it has gotten a little confusing. We're
but
talking.
Jeff, there is another resolution, 16-102.
Oh, yes, I'm sorry, and I did mention it in passing, which was a resolution to direct the Planning Board to add public facilities or municipal facilities on the plan for the gas station property.
Correct.
Is that on our agenda?
Is
no.
To direct them or to request that they do it?
It's in proper form. We direct them to make an amendment, which we can do, but we do not specify exactly what it is they are to do.
I see.
So I would like to introduce Resolution 16-102 that directs the Planning Board to prepare a redevelopment plan governing the Block 2, Lots 4.01 and 4.03, which is the gas station property. And I desire to direct the Planning Board to prepare the amendment such that the gas station property could be considered for municipal use.
Second.
Will the clerk, any discussion before the clerk calls the roll? Table?
Is that in our packet?
No. Would you please call the roll?
Ms. Bowman?
Aye.
Mr. Impelazzari?
Aye.
Ms. Lapode?
Aye.
Ms. Malkin?
No.
Mr. Tipton?
Aye.
Now we move back to the confusion to follow up on the confusion we just had. So just very briefly, quite a while ago, the county came to us and asked us to dedicate Witches Hollow Road to the county. And we came back and said, I'm making this a summary, we came back and said, great, you can have all of it except for the last 900 feet because we don't ever want a road going through there. But we will give you a right-of-way to a small trail so people can walk out through there. County then came back and said, well, we can't just have a small trail. We need 8-foot-wide paved area and certain side areas. And we said, well, we're very concerned with that. So they came back and said, well, we've checked. We really need 12 feet, at which point the council decided that they were not going to grant a right-of-way to the last 900 feet. Somehow in that process, although we had agreed numerous times that we were going to convey fee simple to the rest of the road, we were going to give them full title to the rest of the road, we're not sure we ever got around to doing the second reading. So we are now just to dot I's, cross T's, doing the second reading, final hearing, and public hearing. And I'm going to open the public hearing in a moment. An ordinance of the Borough of Roosevelt in County of Monmouth, State of New Jersey, authorizing the vacation of all of the public right, title, and interest of the Borough of Roosevelt in a portion of Oscar Drive and conveyance of the same to the County of Monmouth. Do we have any comments or questions from the public?
So this is just confirming what we never got around to.
We may have gotten around to, right.
Okay.
There being none, any comments?
1 second.
No. Just getting to the council now.
Okay. Looking through the description of the, I don't have my GPS, but the county description, I don't see anything or anything that lets me believe that they're talking about not getting the last 900 feet.
I think the meets and bounds match
something about 1,298.7 feet. And I don't know if that's the part that excludes the 900.
That's the part that it borders. That's the that 1,200 feet is the area that borders the count that has county land on both sides.
Okay.
That's the that's what we're talking about.
Okay.
That borders the lot two.
This description does
exclude the last 900
yes.
and
okay.
some odd feet. Any other comments or questions at the table about 2016-014? There being none, would you please call the roll?
I need a first and a second.
Oh, I'm sorry. You are absolutely correct. Anybody like to introduce 2016-014? Do we have a second?
Second.
Just to keep in the order, does anybody have any comments? No? Okay.
Ms. Bonin.
Aye.
Mr. Lazzari.
Aye.
Ms. Lapodi.
Aye.
Ms. Malkin.
Aye.
Mr. Ticton.
Aye.
We now come to reports of committee chairs. Councilmember John Impelizzeri for Public Works.
We cleaned up the parking lot a little bit, moving some wood debris that came from the trail work. So that's been moved out of the way and, again, clean up the parking lot somewhat. During the week, there was an accident at the gas station where a tractor-trailer took down the power line and pole, and apparently it's pretty dangerous because live wires were on the ground. Millstone Fire Department and Roosevelt responded, as did the County Roads Department, to direct traffic.
When was that, John?
I think it was Saturday.
Thursday.
It was Thursday.
Thursday.
Okay. All right. And last, but not least. Go ahead.
As you said, the road was closed for about 2 hours.
The state police were writing summonses today at the stop sign on Clarksville Road. So apparently they've been listening to what we said about it being dangerous and people blowing through that stop sign. So they handed out some summonses today. Okay? That's it for me.
Thank you. Councilmember Ticton, Community Development and Code Enforcement and Environmental Health and Safety.
Okay. Mr. McGrath has had further success in code enforcement. One of the county has started the appraisal process for the Dexheimer property, the four-plus-acre property that the county has wanted to acquire for a while. And once the appraisals are in, what they do is they get two appraisals, and then they average them, and that's their offer. And assuming that they can make an offer that Mr. Dexheimer will agree to, then that will go forward. And then Mr. McGrath has already made an arrangement with him that once he gets that money, he will then devote the money to fixing up the property on Pine Drive. So that's a double win for us in terms of getting rid of some significant problems.
Great.
Okay, that's all.
Councilmember Bona.
I don't have anything to report nothing tonight, Mayor. Thank you.
Oh, I thought you were looking out the window. That was administration. Sorry. Councilmember Peggy Malkin for Finance.
No, nothing to report on.
And Councilmember Jill Lapodi.
So first, I want to just make a statement about the drought. The Department of Environmental Protection has gone ahead and included our county in the drought warning area. But there's no mandatory water restrictions that accompany that. They just ask for voluntary cooperation with water conservation. So the fact that it's now fall, people should not be watering their lawns. It is time to let the lawn go dormant. And I would just ask that everybody practice water conservation, because we're in a deficit by over 10 inches, and it is very significant. So we should voluntarily conserve water. The sewage treatment plant lost power on Saturday morning at around 2:30, and the generator did not remain on. When George got to the plant about 6 a.m., the water was very high in the sewage treatment plant. He turned on the generator, but after a few minutes, it switched off. George, of course, is good at troubleshooting, so he added coolant, and the generator started again. JCP&L came at about 4 p.m. They fixed one transformer. There are three lines going into the sewage treatment plant, and one of them had the transformer had blown. So they fixed it, and everything came back on by about 5-ish on Saturday.
Do we have some kind of professional maintenance program for the
generator? We do.
Well, we certainly pay for one.
Yes. And it was through additional conversation about that, because I was disturbed that the generator didn't come on. I learned that Anna has been having some arguments with the fellow who's supposed to maintain our generators. He says he came out. She said, well, no one saw you, etc. And so we will be looking to find a new generator maintainer for next year, so that we have some confidence in these generators.
And maybe have like some kind of sign-in sheet or something. You know,
yeah.
I know he's not paid per visit, but,
yeah.
You know, to so that we have acknowledgement that
I agree with you. I agree with you. We can't have that.
Especially the sewage plant.
Yes. Further discussion, of course, took place about the generator, which was to be installed at the Lake Drive pump station. So PSE&G spent 2 days out there running lines and so forth, but it is still not hooked up because they haven't put in a meter. Well, I really think at this point we need a letter to go to the president of PSE&G that complains about the service that we're getting, because this has just dragged on way too long.
We paid them, what, 3 months ago, something
yes.
like that? Yeah.
That is the problem.
And so they put in everything except the meter, and therefore they won't turn it on.
Correct. We can't get the guy to hook it up because he said, well, there's no meter there.
Don't they install the meter?
They install the meter. We hook up the generator to the other side of the meter. That's the way of things.
And so it's a different department that does meters?
I have not looked into exactly where the ball was dropped, other than to say it's been dropped and we need to.
Can we hook it up directly and then use $2,000 worth of gas, which is what we paid them?
our generator hooker upper guy will not hook it up without a meter in place because it's illegal connection. So I don't blame him at all.
No. Oh, I thought you were saying that PSE&G wouldn't turn anything on because there was no meter.
No, we cannot have our plumber hook up the generator because there is no meter there.
Are you sure that it's PSE&G's responsibility to hook up the gas meter? Because generally, when you build a house, the builder has to put in the meter.
I believe it is PSE&G's responsibility.
We should check with them, because they may be very well waiting for us as the owner to put in the meter, which seems to be the more common
practice.
We will
get to the bottom of it.
I had a full house generator put in a few years ago, and PSE&G had to come and put the meter.
They did the meter. Okay.
Yeah. Actually, they just redid the meter at my house as well.
Okay.
Can we get midnight plumbing or something?
No.
Okay.
No, me.
Just ask.
A couple more things. We have completed the hydrant replacement at the sewage treatment plant and the chlorine feed and the SO2 feed. Those lines that were broken, they have been replaced and all of those repairs have been done. However, when I was down there and looked at it, it's not graded well and it wasn't seeded. And this is the time you should be growing your lawn. So I would like to have the contractor who did it properly grade it and seed it, so that next year when whoever gets the contract to mow, they aren't hitting big ruts and not being able to maintain the yard.
Yeah, who's doing the... Acer's doing the mowing now, right?
Yes. But I don't think it's a mowing situation yet. I mean, at the moment, it's bare ground.
Wait, where are we talking about?
At the sewage treatment plant, where the line was replaced that brings the chlorine from the chemical building to the chlorine contact tank. All of that was dug up with a backhoe, I believe KTK did that work.
And they graded it roughly.
They didn't fine-tune it so that if you were to mow there, you would get stuck in some ruts. At the moment, there's nothing to mow because it's bare ground. They should also have seeded. They should, you know, put it back the way it was.
So isn't it really muddy when it rains?
Oh, yes. It was, yes.
The only concern I would have is what's left in the public works budget, if anything.
They should do this as part of their...
Was this part of a bid? Usually that's in the specifications.
Yeah.
That there were stores...
This was not bid.
This was not bid. They just had KTK do it.
Right.
Well, they should be called back and told to grade and see.
I think they would probably be agreeable to that.
I think they would.
With most things.
Yeah. I have one bit of good and welfare. Actually, it's not good, but Toby's son died on Thursday evening, and the services are this Saturday. Very sad time for Toby right now. And I have one thing about the Roosevelt Arts Project. Roosevelt Arts Project has had a very successful art walk on Saturday on the new trail. And everybody should be happy. The trail is quite safe. There are lots of signs talking about the slip hazard on the boardwalk. So all of that was
really instructional
completed.
Signs.
Yes.
Showing people how to slip.
Yes.
Hands first.
The art walk was very well received. The Roosevelt Arts Project is meeting tonight, actually, as we speak. I'm not at their meeting, but they sent out their minutes, and it reminded me that, Peggy, you had asked me to raise the issue, could they do some project to improve the interior of the Borough Hall.
No, this is the Borough Hall of a town full of artists. And
so it's in
people.
The minutes that I proposed such a thing, but in the adopted schedule, no one adopted it.
No, I ask every year.
Yeah.
I don't know why they're adverse to doing it, but...
I think there's just no one stepping up to volunteer to curate or do that. And
even if it was just painted white and we hung and got new rugs and hung some artwork, it would be a huge improvement. But
we had bids for new carpeting.
Yeah, that went nowhere.
Cash flow. Also,
carpeting
the same thing with the heater.
Yeah. But did the brown walls.
Well, I do have a proposal. Tai Chi meets in here, and one thing that would improve our Tai Chi form is if we could see ourselves and see whether we're doing it right. And so we talked about if we had mirrors on those doors, we would be able to see whether our form was correct. And I believe the Tai Chiers ourselves would be willing to pay for, you know, those mirrors that you get on closet doors, and not an expensive solution. But I just wasn't sure if the council would like to see their reflections during...
No.
So I thought I'd bring it up and just see what the reaction is. Maybe there's a sense to the council.
It would increase transparency.
It would duplicate whatever ills we had. How about mirrors and then black curtains to put over them?
I think mirrors are... It's too much of a gymnasium look, or I don't think it's professional enough for...
I was actually thinking of more like a ballet studio.
Well, ballet, gym, whatever, but it's like a fitness place.
Any thoughts?
I'm not big on mirrors.
Could put mirrors on the insides of the doors, and the Tai Chi class can open and have the mirrors, and then close, and we don't have to look at ourselves.
That's actually a pretty good idea.
I'm good with that.
Doesn't solve Peggy's issue, but it does.
Well, she won't see them.
No. Peggy's issue is she doesn't like the way the room looks.
Right.
Oh, right.
So the suggestion was put up mirrors, which we now put behind the doors, and sort of feed it what we see us for the first time.
I mean, really, if you walk into this room, would you ever know this is, you know, there are so many artists and creative people in this town. You would just, it's an ugly room.
Well, we could hang art on the wall.
Maybe we should get rid of the file boxes before we start about decorating.
Yeah, fair enough.
What was that?
Get rid
of the file boxes. Maybe we should get rid of the file boxes. boxes before we start talking about decorating.
And they have gone down. It's sort of like, you know, they take one box or two boxes, but it's better than it was.
I'm not interested in decorating as much as at least painting the walls so they're brighter and cleaner looking.
At least on the first day.
You can paint from siding. You just have to use the right paint.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I don't think it's up to the Roosevelt Arts Project to paint the walls. I mean, the Roosevelt Arts Project would be art.
I just thought if they did it, they would do it, you know. They could do murals or they could do it.
They're the other sort of painter, not them.
Right.
Okay, old business. I know that there are, unless somebody wanted a borough official to say something. No? Okay. Old business. We have none. New business. Best practices submission. I assume that came from George Lang.
Yes, you have to discuss best practices. Has to be discussed. It was already submitted last week. A copy of the submission is on the back. George and I sat down and went over it. It has already been submitted. One of the resolutions that you did for tonight's meeting regarding the tax appeal notification was one of the best practices. We've already done that, but it was not in writing. It now is, and we submitted it as it was in writing. There hasn't been much else changed. Some of the questions were reworded. Some of what George and I felt were good questions for municipalities were taken out, and they put some in there that don't apply to everybody, even though all municipalities fill out the same best practice.
No real surprise there. Okay,
I see
that
one very
changed.
Minor mistake in one of the answers, number 6. Instead of ratio, it says ration. Talk about the tax ratio, assessment sales ratio.
Ration, he put ration in there.
But subject to minor errors of spelling,
sure.
Typing, etc. I assume we have all reviewed it. I don't think it's changed much since last year.
Mm-hmm.
Although we fill in the same answers every year and change one or two. But does anybody have any questions about it? Anything they want to discuss about the best practices policy? Being none so far, we can come back to it. Use of Borough Hall. Request from Jody Parsons. Wedding prep area. What does wedding prep... Oh, she wanted to use the kitchen. Correct?
That's all Kelly told me. She talked to the woman that she wants to use it for a prep area for her daughter's wedding.
Assuming subject to getting the appropriate deposit and all that?
Yes.
Anybody want to make a motion to allow the use of the Borough Hall on June 2nd and 3rd, 2017 as a wedding prep area for Jody Parsons' son's wedding?
So moved.
Second. I think Debbie said daughter. Who's getting married?
Oh, right.
It's
Brianna.
It's a daughter, yes.
Okay. I don't think we have to make the motion again, though.
I think that's what Kelly said.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes.
Thank you.
We now come to public comment section. Anybody in the audience have anything like to say? Eitan.
Eitan Grunwald. I guess this could have been under borough official. I just wanted to bring up a few things from the Environmental Commission. Was I?
Speak clearly.
Right, okay. The Environmental Commission did not meet this past month in order to avoid conflict with the schedule with the recent town hall meeting. However, there are a few updates. In addition to the signs that were put up for the wooden platforms, the new wooden platforms on the Roosevelt Woodland Trail, we're also investigating a more permanent solution using a non-slip coating, and we're in the process of researching the options right now. In addition to that, our invasive species committee met last Saturday to plant red buds to replace the invasive autumn olives that were removed. And this coming Saturday, we'll be having the second invasives removal for a variety of invasives, not just autumn olive, on the Roosevelt Woodland Trail, the section between Tamara and, I'm sorry, between Rochdale and North Valley. And that's it.
Is autumn olive welcome anywhere? I mean, we dislike it here.
In Russia.
Oh, is that where?
I believe that's where it's native.
And
either that or that's just where it belongs.
I love the Invasive Species Committee. It always makes me think of July 4th, the movie. Independence Day.
It's actually planted intentionally in the 80s because it provides food for birds all year long.
Oh,
really? But it also has that nasty side effect of taking over everything.
It doesn't die when you try to get rid of it.
This is what happens.
I don't think we knew about invasive species in the 80s. I'm ready to salt the earth kudzu around it.
We knew about kudzu, I think. Anybody else? Public comment? There being none, do I have a motion for adjournment? Sure.
Jeff Klein, 21 Homestead Lane. I just wanted to just say one thing. I've watched the whole EMS building and everything come to fruition and the whole argument about everything for the EMS. I just wanted to point out that at this time in New Jersey and around the country, actually, the 911 system, and I'm not sure how many people are aware of, it's really falling apart. It's really in a bad state, and it's in a bad way. And what needs to happen now, and what is happening now, and it is happening grindingly slow because of councils and townships that will not let their emergency services go. And what's happening now is, or what's needed now, is a regionalization of the 911 system in the area. And I just wanted to point out that it makes me really sad a little bit that Roosevelt could absolutely be a leader in this, which is disconcerting to me because we're determined, or the council, or everybody seems determined to put this EMS building up one way or another. What's on the ballot now is two options, an EMS building for 2 bay or an EMS building for 4 bay. That's it. There's really no other options to go. And there's other options that are wonderful and involve Millstone and could involve Allentown, Upper Freehold, Freehold itself, which is a volunteer squad, that is diminishing. It's sad to me that it could really have been turned into this project that could have been a paid squad that would have started to lead the way towards a regionalization of the EMS system in this area. And it's coming around the state. I understand, and believe me, I understand EMS, and I understand volunteer. I volunteered for many, many, many years, and I've worked paid now for many years. And I know the people who work throughout the state in different squads, Marlboro, Manalapan, North Brunswick, Asbury Park, Ocean. It doesn't matter where. It's around this, Monroe. I know all these people, and I talk to them. And it's incredibly frustrating that we can't get past this type of isolation of the EMS system. A new building is for Roosevelt Squad. A new building is for the Roosevelt Fire Department. Whereas we could open it up. It really needs to be opened up to Millstone as well. I mean, if we have to pay Millstone, for example, to cover us, and we have a EMS building for first aid, well, who covers Millstone then for first aid? It will be us. When it's very slipshod. There's no plan of action into what's happening. Whereas if people looked a little deeper into what the system showed as far as the call volume down at 9 dispatch, it will show you how it's diminishing, how calls are taking longer to answer, how calls are going unanswered. It would be a very numbers oriented thing. If people would see that how many people here on the squad itself has diminished, and who's answering calls at this point in town. And how everything is determined to move forward in that direction for just keeping it here. Just wanted to point, for me, it's a public health issue. The building is here, it's not here, but I just wanted to make, it's a public health issue for the 911 system and how the Roosevelt Borough Council has a great opportunity now if they would look a little further into the numbers and working with Millstone First Aid a little bit more and the fire department a little bit more towards grouping this paid 911 system, which could incorporate volunteers as well. You're not cutting them out. You're just bringing them all together just opening up. You could use Millstone's building. You could use other alternatives that are absolutely viable. And for me, it's a public health. If you continue to rely on a Roosevelt volunteer EMS system, I think somebody's going to get hurt. And if you look at the stories of counties or townships that have moved towards paid systems off of their old volunteer system, one of the reasons that they started to move is because somebody died. Somebody generally has to die before it becomes that kind of an issue. And I just was hoping that, in my opinion, it could happen before that. But that's all I wanted to say. It's not a building issue for me. It's just a public health issue. And I have a great opportunity to do it. I hope somebody looks at it a little further and just takes it into consideration, really, according to the numbers, and sees what's going on for real. That's all. Thank you for your time.
I want to say, because this keeps coming up again and again, there's a couple of basics here. We have fire and first aid. We have a choice. We can make accommodations for fire. If we make accommodations for fire, we will have, at least on the first day, a crew of 12 to 14 firefighters. If we do not make accommodation for fire, we will have, I believe the technical term is diddly squat. There will be no firefighters. If we have no firefighters, then we have to contract with Millstone. That's fine. That's the choice that the voters basically have. Do you want a fire department, or do you want to pay for Millstone? I have gone with the representatives of the Millstone Fire Commission to our assemblymen, to our senators, to the governor's office, to various state agencies, and said, we're interested in regionalizing. What can you do for us? And because you guys are pushing it. And their answer was, nothing. Have you thought about different kinds of billing? Yeah, we've been through that. So we have tried very hard to do something with Millstone. There is a specific cost, and the voters are going to decide whether or not they want to pay the cost. As far as first aid, there is no regional first aid squad. It doesn't exist. Now, I have heard the argument that we should pay our first aid squad, and I think that's a great idea. And the way we do that is we sign up with a billing company, we soft bill in Roosevelt, we hard bill outside of Roosevelt, we take that money, we use it to buy equipment, we use it to pay the squad. I have no problem with that. But the suggestion that, we're just not going to do anything, it doesn't work one way or another. You know, I've heard suggestions of, okay, well, you know, we'll have a truck with four people. Millstone's response to that is, that's not mutual aid, and we're not going to do it. So we're bound by certain parameters. It's not that we haven't looked into regionalization. We've just had Millstone come back and say, this is what it's going to cost. Hope is going down the crapper, and there are interscene wars now between Allentown and Upper Freehold because they have a fixed rate contract. Upper Freehold is screaming that Allentown isn't paying enough. Allentown's saying, well, I have a contract. I'm not going to pay any more. Millstone's looking at that and saying, we're not getting in that contract. All right, so they're not going to sign the same thing. I mean, it's not like this hasn't been looked at. To the extent you follow it on Facebook, the ISO rating at Hope just went from, 6 to 9?
What is Hope?
Hope Fire Company is the fire company that serves Allentown and Upper Freehold. Their ISO rating just dropped down to 9, and people are writing in and saying, my insurance rates are going through the roof.
But you're assuming that Millstone will be much more expensive. But
we know exactly what they're going to be. They came to the public meeting and they said 9.5 cents per 100 valuation.
But ongoing, don't think that things will go up and up? The code changes, all the codes change all the time.
What will go up and up?
In other words, if we keep our fire here, do you honestly believe, first of all, we talk about building a building. That's the building. Then
we
you
have
to equip the building. Then you have to.
No, we don't. We already have.
No,
we already have the racks.
Do you have to buy some furniture? Do you have to buy a desk? Do you have to buy a chair? There's things that will there will be ongoing costs forever. You contract out to Millstone. That's it. You pay what it costs, and that's what it costs. And if their rates go up, it's spread out for all of their people who are contracted to Millstone.
So let me give you the number.
No, I'm sorry, Jeff. I don't agree with your numbers.
It doesn't matter if you agree with them. Those are the numbers they gave us.
Well, I don't know. I'm not sure about that.
Okay.
But
make up whatever numbers you like.
The point is, it's not as if we're going to build a firehouse here.
Sorry.
That's okay.
It's not as if we're going to build a firehouse here, and then we'll never have any additional costs. The laws have changed so much about how often you have to change equipment, buy new equipment, training. We'll have ongoing costs here forever. This town, no longer in this time, in 2016.
Are you willing to look at any numbers?
Can I finish, please? You say that to everyone who tries to interrupt
me. Right, and you interrupt me continually, but go ahead.
It's impossible for little tiny towns to sustain their own services anymore. It's just not financially feasible. There's all these little towns. Why do you think the government is screaming for merging and mutual aid and shared services? Because we just can't sustain our own services anymore. We are a tiny, tiny little town. I think we're the 23rd smallest town out of 565 towns. And for us to have our own fire department, firehouse, just doesn't make sense anymore. It doesn't make it's not common sense. It doesn't make fiscal sense. We have a fully operational, vital, highest rating fire department 3 miles down the road. No one's insurance will go up. It's within the 5 mile cap, and it's just fiscally.
And they will charge us 9.5 cents per $100 valuation.
Should I make a point to that, Jeff, if you don't mind?
I just want to say one thing.
Go ahead.
Okay. You won't go to any meetings.
Why would the meetings are so stacked?
I'm sorry, I'm talking. You won't go to any meetings.
Of course I wouldn't go. Why would I go?
You won't meet with the CFO. You won't meet with the bond people. You won't come to the town hall meetings. George Lang.
That's where the numbers come from. I meet with George Lang all the time.
Okay.
I meet with George Lang all the time.
Great. What numbers did he give you? Did you ask for the numbers?
I asked for other numbers. I asked for numbers about what we're spending in town. Spending here is at an all-time high.
We have
George is concerned about how spending is going through the roof.
The numbers that we have assume a 3% cost of living increase every year across everything. It includes it across, first of all, it certainly includes it for Millstone, who have told us that's basically what they do. It includes it for fire. It includes it for first aid. We get our fire trucks by donation, as we have for the last 60 years.
We get our equipment. Trucks.
Those trucks are the same age as half of Millstone's fleet. They're signed off by JIF. Okay?
Millstone must have a better...
All right, but if the bottom line is, look, I'm not going to look at any number because I don't trust anybody, then you're just making stuff up.
I'm not making anything up. I don't trust your numbers.
They're not my numbers.
Let me ask you a question. What is your actual preference, to sign with Millstone or to build our own here?
Personally, I don't care.
I believe that you have stated that your preference is to sign with Millstone.
No, at this point, what I said was, very specifically, my best interests are to sign with Millstone because I don't have to deal with this anymore. That doesn't mean it's what's best for the town.
I think
it's what's best for
the town.
I got that. That doesn't mean...
And I get your point, too. It doesn't...
Okay, thank
anybody
you.
Can...
Jeff.
I just wanted to point out that for the money, I think it's been looked at some level, but I think if you look a little further, if there was other towns that have done it and are running into the exact same thing, this is not new. I just wanted to point out, this isn't new. This is happening across the state. So I understand what you're talking about, the money. It's not what it's going to cost, how it's going to become a mutual aid, or how it's going to consolidate, possibly under a special district. I don't know. I don't have the answers to all these. But I do know that a lot of the companies are going under the fire department. So it's not just a random first aid squad just floating around doing its own thing. It's consolidated under either the fire department or the municipality itself. Now, money comes back into this. Granted, in Millstone and Roosevelt, it's not huge amounts of money. But money is produced, whereas a volunteer squad doesn't produce any money.
But the volunteer squad can. They've done 230 calls so far this year. That's an average of 290 per year.
Okay, let's get into numbers then.
700, okay. So 290 calls.
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
The cost for a Monarch run is $1,300.
I understand. I don't know where Monarch was coming from, but go ahead. I understand.
I'll tell you where Monarch is coming from.
Monarch comes to Roosevelt. There's a mutual aid agreement when Roosevelt can't answer the calls.
cost that we, the price that we could charge as an ambulance crew for, we could charge insurance companies, is based on a comparative. One of those comparatives, whether they come to Roosevelt or not, is Monarch. Monarch charges about $1,300 a run.
Correct.
There are other areas, thank you, there are other squads.
Well, they don't get paid $1,300 a run. They can charge $15,000 a run. They don't get paid that. You can wipe your head, Jeff. I'm going to wipe my eyes, too, now. Because I'm in it. I see it every freaking day. I know what people are charged.
Jeff,
I know
since
who's
you know
it.
What I'm saying, could you please tell me what I'm about to say?
That I can't answer next.
Okay,
so
then
volunteer
let me
squad
it.
Is going to make money.
Let me say it.
Go ahead.
Okay. I can promise you that I have a pretty good grasp on reimbursement rates.
Go ahead.
Okay?
I'm listening.
So the charge may be $1,300. We may only recover $700.
Okay.
But that's $700 we didn't have before. $700 times 230 calls.
Who's the we? I'm confused who the we you're talking about is.
I'm talking about the Roosevelt First Aid Squad.
I thought you were talking about Monarch. Charging $1,300.
No.
I'm confused then.
What I'm talking about is that we could bill for the services of our First Aid Squad. They could bill for their services. Right?
As a volunteer squad, sure. They can soft bill.
They can hard bill, too.
Okay.
So once they determine... So we're clear. So once we determine that they can bill, we need to figure out how much they could charge
fine.
As their standard average charge.
That's fine.
The exact word is what, Charlene? The usual and customary charge.
That's fine. I understand
okay.
what you're saying, Jeff. I really do. I'm with you.
Okay. So the usual and customary charge, we charge $1,100.
Fine.
We then go back to the insurance company. The insurance company says we'll pay you $700.
Right.
Is $700, is $1,300 or $1,100 reasonable? Sure, because we look at what the comparatives are. The comparatives are about $1,300.
Right,
hence
but now let's talk about the numbers.
Hence, we can charge $1,100. Okay.
Now I'm going to talk numbers then.
Can I finish?
Yes, you can, but
okay.
you're going
we
on
now
a
go
little
back
bit.
To the insurance company. The insurance company says, well, I'm only going to pay you $700.
Okay.
Okay? You can either waive it because you've set up a fund to do that in Roosevelt, or you can hard bill because you're outside of Roosevelt and you can't set up a fund for that. All right? So at a minimum, we get a reimbursement of $700 times 230 calls or 290 calls. 290 calls times $700, I can't do that off the top of my head, but you're probably around
$210,000.
$203,000.
Okay.
I just did it on
my phone. Fair
enough. $203,000 to pay... The first aid.
I understand. I know what you're talking about.
Update equipment.
I understand.
Okay. Why does that not appeal to you?
Because the problem is, you're missing the base problem, which is if you look at the run sheets, you will see who answers the calls. Where is our first aid squad in this town? And I'm not even talking about just Roosevelt. I'm just talking in general. Just let me, if you look at a run sheet, you will see who's answering calls out of our. I don't know how many people are on the Roosevelt First Aid Squad. Perhaps you know how many people are on the First Aid Squad. Michael, do you know how many? Jason, do you know how many people are on the Roosevelt First Aid Squad? Jill, do you know how many members there are? Okay.
I believe there's eight.
Okay. Out of those eight or 10 or 14, how many of those people are answering calls? So it's recorded. Every single call is recorded. Let me speak, Jeff. I allowed you to speak. I interrupted a couple times. You can. I'll let you, but. The problem is that you're talking about 290 calls answered by Roosevelt, but the reality is within a year to 2 years, and Wall being also and other areas being the same thing, is that they're no longer able to answer those calls. So you can say $210,000 on all the calls answered, but the reality is within, and I'm just saying again, it's a public health issue for me. Mm-hmm. I'm not interested in any. I'm not interested in the other aspects of it. I'm really not. If I really don't care about all the other stuff and. I understand it has to be taken care of, but this needs to be looked at because the $203,000 doesn't exist. It's just a fantasy number. The reality is the numbers of the
yes.
people that are answering calls is going down and down and down. Will it bounce back? No, it's not going to bounce back. It's over. New Jersey, it's over. In the country, it's over. The 911 system is broken because of the volunteer system. You can soft bill, you can hard bill. It's a much better way to go with the 911 system to begin to regionalize and to get – you'll cut costs because you'll have two people covering a much wider area, so everybody's costs will come down. It's worth looking into
Jeff, would it,
more
would it help
so
if I
than
told
it has
you,
been.
Would it help if I told you again, as I have told people again and again, we have looked into it. So let me put it in
I
context.
I understand that.
Let
I
me
just
put
think
context.
Your numbers are off. That's
we,
all I'm saying. I
we,
think your call numbers are off.
No, they're not. We answered 230 calls. The first aid squad answered 230 calls, at least as of last Wednesday. Maybe they answered more. Okay.
Well, I'd like to see the numbers of who answered the 230 calls. That's all. I mean, I'm just asking.
Roosevelt
I don't want to, but
first aid squad answered 230
of which I
calls,
followed
of which
for at least 10 years,
of
Jeff,
which
so
approximately
I've answered many calls myself.
Of which approximately you're asking questions.
I know.
Of which approximately 85% were in the Millstone area.
Fine.
Why? Because Millstone doesn't have really an operating squad. How do I know
and
this?
Did.
One
up
because
to a year ago.
One because they're not responding.
Right.
Two because I've met with them, because I've met with their mayor, because I've met with their commission.
They don't have the people anymore.
There is no. Okay, you say that.
I know that.
You say that we're imagining numbers. Okay, you are imagining a regional first aid squad that does not exist. It's not there. So if
right,
tomorrow,
that's what I'm saying. It has to be. It has
said,
to be put together.
If we say
what
tomorrow,
I'm
we're going to stop. We're going to stop providing help to our first aid squad.
I never said
okay?
that. I didn't not say that.
Well, then what are we going to do for next year and the year
you,
after?
I'm not saying that you do it. I'm saying you look into – you just begin the process of looking into it. You don't have to stop it and go from zero to from 60 to
well,
zero.
We are looking
you don't
into
hit
it,
the
but
brakes.
There's nothing there at the moment. You're right. The other towns are having problems. But the result of that issue, the result of the fact that Millstone is having problems and Hope is having problems and all those people are having problems is that you have to rely – we now have to rely on our local people. And because they're the only ones who are responding in
I know,
Millstone
but you just named five, and I can name more. Roosevelt will not be the one to stand up. Roosevelt Squad is not going to be the one to stand up and take care of this. I can tell you that. They're great people. I know them. I work with them. I just wanted to make the point. I'm not. I don't want to argue. Okay. I'm just making the point.
What I'm saying is, okay, so here we are. We're doing annualized 290 calls, okay? All right. Our facilities are not up to par. We have to do something, okay? And so our response or the response of the majority is, okay, it seems that the least expensive thing to do is to put up a steel pole building. Fine. Okay? People can disagree with that. That's fine. But it doesn't stop us from looking into long-term regionalization. I think that having, if there were squads around here that could help us, I think that would be great. But I look around and I say, I don't see any. You know, and I sat in that meeting with the three guys or the two guys who wanted to start the regional on a for-profit basis. They've got three customers so far, and we haven't seen how it's working yet.
Right. I
so I'm not disagreeing with you on the long term.
We don't have it here either. We have the same two or three people going on every first aid call. That's all.
But they're going on the calls.
What?
But they're going on the calls. There's nobody else.
Right.
Okay?
And when they can't, you want to build a building, an expensive building, for the same two or three people that go on every call. There's in the last few months.
I'm not building it for them. I'm building it because it's cheaper than fixing that one. That's where all the numbers come from.
You're building
it,
but it's the wrong sequence. You're building a building first, and we don't even have volunteers to staff the building.
Well, first of all, I think you're insulting the 8 or 12 volunteers that we have. It's
have
not always
the
same ones.
On who, yeah, it's pretty much in ever it since
okay, but
Jack
if we don't
Rint left and the other people are gone, you have the same. The roster might have 8 or 10 names, but it's not who's going on every single call.
And you do have
okay,
a
so when the call
building,
comes
which is viable.
When the call comes in,
begin our
okay,
regionalization program.
Let's look at it practically. Okay, the call comes in. All right? We don't need our first aid squad, so now what do we do? Who's going to answer it? I will tell you that when Sissy's husband got ill, it was 45 minutes before an ambulance arrived.
Right.
When
Why?
My son got
Why?
Ill, it
Why?
Was 30 minutes because
that's what do you think Jeff is saying? Because it's falling apart.
No. The reason that it happened is that the radio systems have been having a problem for 3 years, and when they paged it out, Roosevelt didn't get it. And in fact, after 20 minutes of waiting, I got a call from or a text from Chris Sook, who happened to drive by and see a state police car there and say, do you need first aid? Because they hadn't gotten toned out because they hadn't fixed the radios. But that's two
well,
calls
that's one problem. That's
out
a
of
big
230 calls.
You can say that, but you have the same two or three people going.
Who cares?
Because that's not going to last.
And
that's not
God
going
for
to last.
Two or three people, I thank God for that.
That's a different issue.
Can I say anything?
Sure.
Thank you. Interrupt everybody. Okay, I just had a point that John, I think Jeff's point is well taken, that you know efforts have to be made to try to promote regionalization.
Yeah.
My question was, are you aware of anything, other state organizations that represent the first aid squads, and what have they done, or what's their position been?
They don't. Their position is to keep it status quo because they are made up
that's
of volunteers
yeah.
who are very dug in and will not adapt to a new system that's incorporated.
Yeah, that's
it's old school volunteer systems that are in place. I'm not saying get rid of the volunteer system, and they
sure.
work great with the paid squad, but the problem is one by one.
I understand.
Each township has left one by one. So
yep.
where there used to be 15 members at the 23rd district when I would go to the meetings back when, now there's seven.
Yep.
So each township is
right.
one by one is falling away.
It would be helpful, you know, if people could work within those organizations and try to move the organizations toward having a favorable view. Because just my knowledge with the legislature, what they're going to do is, you know, we can get bills introduced, but then the people come forward as representing the first aid squads, and they come in and say, oh, no, we don't support it. It's going to be very difficult to get support in the legislature. Probably it does need some kind of, the legislature did respond in fire by creating, you know, by simplifying the whole procedure for forming regional districts.
Right.
One thing that, you know, was recently done that, you know, we now have the possibility of joining the Millstone District, which you did not have until a year ago when that law was changed. So, you know, the legislature will get, it will change the legal structure, and that's what you need to have happen. But a difficulty is when those who, if there's nobody in there representing the organizations calling for it, then it's very difficult to get it through the legislature. I agree with you that it's something that we should do whatever we can to promote. But we obviously can't be the ones who bring it about. We can certainly try to get our legislators to work on this, and you know, I certainly support that. You know, getting our legislators, other legislators, we know, yeah. Yeah, we have short-term solutions.
To get somebody who to stand
yeah,
up and say,
right.
This is what needs to be done.
Yeah.
And people will listen, but there's nobody in the area that's saying that
right.
because of the difficulties that Jeff is pointing out,
mm-hmm.
that we have to do something. It's a very difficult process. We don't have the backing.
Very long-term.
Who's there?
Very long-term process.
It absolutely is. The only point I'm making, it's a public health issue for me.
Absolutely.
It's not an issue of a building or
no,
not a
course.
Building or whatever. It's just a matter of, it's right here. Right on the plate right now, and for me, it's very important to me. I really believe it,
right.
and I believe that it needs to be done, and it will be done. And it'd just be nice for.
Yeah. But the other thing I could tell you that to give you an example of how slowly these things can go in New Jersey, I remember in the 1960s when there were 567 municipalities in the state, and going to seminars in graduate school where they're talking about how, you know, this is something that obviously had to be changed. We couldn't have these very small municipalities running inefficiently. Well, from the 1960s, now what do we have, 50, almost 50 years now? About 50 years, we've gotten from 567 to 565. So, I mean, at
right.
that rate, you can figure out how long it's going to take. But, I mean, that's been something we've had books written about it. Alan Karcher wrote this thing, New Jersey Municipal Madness, talking about, you know, how this proliferation of municipalities
right.
making things inefficient. And
it will change. Well, you know when it will change, which is what will happen, and everybody knows that will happen. Somebody high up in the government will have a 911 call, and nobody will show up for their child.
Yeah.
And they'll say, why did it take 45 minutes for
mm-hmm.
our first aid squad to show up?
Unfortunately, that's
and
often
that's
true.
And that's where it will come
unfortunately
up.
Unfortunately,
it's just an opportunity.
Yeah.
In
this town, it's me.
I'm not excited in my view of it, but that's the way it
sure.
will change.
In this town, it's me. It was my son. It
right.
was the 35 minutes.
And I'm sorry
okay.
that you know,
and my reaction is we have to do something. And while I'll hear all the arguments, what I keep coming back to, and I'm going to ask you, and I've asked you, is what's your plan? And the answer is we'll look at it for a while.
No, that's not my plan.
What's your plan?
I never said that.
What's your plan?
you pay the first aid squad and you renovate the building. That building can be renovated. You pay the first, and this way you shore up the first aid squad. You get good volunteers. You get more, well, not volunteers, not the word. You get good employees. You get more employees.
You have Millstone Building, which
and then we, right. We also have the Millstone Building, which we could utilize.
What Millstone Building?
Their first aid building.
But why would they let us?
They've
kind
of.
They
don't really. I'm not saying why not. All I'm saying is why does it, why does so they should be approached.
Okay.
Right.
We have approached it. Can I motion or something?
Well, so you don't want to. Oh, fine.
Okay. No. Your plan is we fix up that building, and we pay
and
them.
We pay
them with what? What do we pay them with?
We just got done talking about the billing. We have.
No. I got done talking about the billing.
Oh,
I just went through this process.
We've been talking about billing for a long time. The hard billing, the soft billing.
Okay,
this
I'm fine with that. We bill and we pay them with it. I'm missing.
It's backward to build a big new building now first, before we don't even have a viable first aid squad. I'm not talking about the people that are on the first aid squad. They're wonderful. I'm relieved that they're here.
Everybody's a great fan of first aid and fire, but they're not really a fan of first aid and fire.
Because we have Millstone down the road. We can pay our first aiders and contract
to
Millstone.
Vote on it and pay them. Vote on it and pay them. That's one of the choices. Do you want to pay Millstone, or do you want to keep our fire department? That's what people are voting on.
But we're not voting on paying our volunteers and renovating the building rather than a whole new building.
No, we're not.
The building for the same
we're not, because we keep going through the same studies over and over, and they keep coming up with the same thing. I know. You don't believe any of them. You don't want to hear the experts, but they keep coming up with the same thing.
No, I did. I actually heard
that two guys sat out there.
You got rid of the expert that didn't agree with you. So what's the point of hearing the experts? You completely.
He said get three fire engines, and you can't afford this. He's not an expert in finance. Our bond counsel says yes. Our CFO says
he
yes.
He said a lot more than that, and you said right in the meeting that it was a big mistake to hire him.
Absolutely.
I wonder, had he agreed that everything should remain here, if you would have considered
no.
him a very poor
not
expert.
After we talked to the insurance company. No, we would not have. All right, so you don't believe the numbers. You don't believe that anything that's said.
Well,
we'll leave you there.
Well, it's all set up by you, and everyone
well,
knows
my life all
you.
Comes down to right. Government red tape. They don't care if I die. It's just a government red tape. Okay? Somebody should do something, but you got to do something until the government gets off its behind and does something more. So we got
so
to do something now.
Bob.
Unfortunately, it's not this government that controls
yeah.
that.
Yeah,
it's
Bob.
People
I'm not talking about this government.
But
I'm talking
Bob,
about the state. No, that's
Bob,
right.
Could you just go up to the microphone because these poor people are going to have to try to.
Bob Francis, Lake Drop.
Now, the whole thing is a lot of people don't even understand what's going on with this referendum because everybody at the town meeting and everything I've been hearing from people talking about people is they all talk about a $1.6 million bond issue. It's not a $1.6 million bond issue, is it?
No.
Okay?
No.
That's first. Everybody thinks it's a 1.6. It's not. It's to build a emergency services building. And if you're going to put up one, a two building is going to cost you $385,000. But if you add two more bays for the fire, it's going to cost you $125,000 more. It's a no-brainer, in my opinion. You have it until the government, the federal government or the state government, gets off their behinds and starts supporting us. I was 25 years on this company and living in that little hellhole back here when you come back from a bad fire. Thank goodness I can count on my fingers and toes how many fires I had 25 years. And bad ones only on two hands. So, and I'm thank God that we don't have them. I'd rather pay the $2,000 if people talk about this many calls and that many calls. My life is worth more than a call, and it's worth more than any $2,000 per call. And same with my property. And everybody's got the wrong view of what's going on here, in my opinion. Not in the court, and everybody has their own opinion. That's why we have those booths that come in here and you pull the levers. But it's information overload, in my opinion, just like the Internet is. You got information overload. I go look for my sciatica. Man, I find so many things in there to cure my sciatica. It's up to yang. But some things do work. Because you can see it. I'm standing up right now. But the thing is, the whole point is there's got to be some middle ground. And we got to do something until somebody else does something. And government red tape is behind it all the time. And they, like Mike said, they did say something where we get free college tuition or something like that, or we get $2,000. Give the volunteer something. Because if the state had to come around and say, look, you guys need a fire department, and we have to pay them, where are we going to get the money? The state's not going to pay them, so you got the volunteers. If they had to pay us, pay the volunteers, the staff, first aid, you figure out how many first aid people, volunteer, and firemen that are in the state of New Jersey alone. And if the state had to come around and pay them, we'd go bankrupt. The state would go bankrupt in one day. So it's really, we got to understand what we're voting on, really. And I'm voting on my life, and I'm pulling yes. I want it. I'd rather have it, like he said. They're going away, but for the few that stay, hopefully they don't have to come to me. I'd rather pay them the $2,000 to go to somebody else than come to me. But I just think the whole thing is like I say, information overload is what it is.
After hearing that $4,000 per call crap, we ran the numbers.
Yeah. Oh, one thing I do want to bring up. You said something about the call up at the town meeting by Tim Hartley on how much per year this bond issue is going to cost the taxpayer per year in their taxes.
Yeah, it's yeah.
I thought it was like $70 or something. I heard you say.
No, the since the budget has gone up, it's $130 a year. If we go with the four bay, and then you can see the scale on the left for the two
but
bay.
Didn't you say it's possible that the cost would go up, and then you'd have to amend the bond? It's possible that the cost of the building would go up.
No, what I said was if we go across the street, the cost of the building will go up between $300,000 and $400,000, and we will have to amend the bond at that point. So if we cannot build it here, we will have to pay an extra $300,000 to $400,000. To build across the street.
The question on that, the Millstone's firehouse over there, they have sewer and septic. Our code says if we put it out here, we have to run water and sewer?
Yes.
So that's the code that we have to do that, no alternative. Yeah. What's the, since everybody, it's all about emergency service building, but everybody's talking about just first aid, keeping first aid and forget the fire company part.
Well, no, the premise
code?
Was we were talking about, they started talking about a two bay.
Yeah.
And if you're talking about a two-bay, it means that you've gotten rid of the fire company.
Right. Okay. But my thing is, what is the state saying to us about code, about having any kind of emergency services? Are they mandating all this?
Mandating emergency services?
Yes.
No.
They're not, right? They can't. No. So if we want them, we either take them or we try to get them somewhere else. Or if you try and go get insurance and say, I don't have any first aid squad or fire department, what's my insurance going to be? Skyrocket, right?
So if... Well, no, you can't not have fire first aid. You have to have it from somewhere, okay?
Yeah.
In the event that we that the town votes for a two-bay and sign with Millstone, we walk over to Millstone and sign a contract.
Yeah.
Because at that point, we won't have a fire department. So.
Well, if you do the math on that 9.5 cents that he said against what we're doing, I think it's cheaper what we're doing than going to the 9.5 cents.
Oh, it's usually different. Usually cheaper.
Thanks.
Thank you. Do I have a motion anyway?
Actually, I have a question.
Yes.
I don't see where I was supposed to give my environmental commission report that Aton gave. Stacy Bona administration.
That's right. Normally we just give it all at the same time, but we can certainly arrange it so that it's at a different time.
No,
so the second
I don't
one.
Care when it is, as long as it's here, because this just says administration, which left me unclear as to when I was supposed to give my environmental commission report. To which point, Aton finally came up and gave it.
Then let's we put in
the liaisons as well.
Put in the liaisons as well.
We'll add them. I'll just put like administration.
All right. We've certainly, by a long shot, exceeded 5 minutes per person. Do you have any motions? Sorry.
Motion to.
But Ms. Parrott wants to say something.
Maureen Parrott, Chickamauga Drive. A question. This is just a general question. What is the background check that is done? What is the nature of the background check is done before an employee is hired by the borough?
top of my head.
Is there one?
I don't think so.
There may not be one.
No background check. So you could hire a convicted sex offender? I'm just guessing. So that's not even done.
No, I don't believe we can hire a convicted sex offender. We can, however, probably hire one that has served his term.
Well, he was convicted and served his term.
No, you're no longer allowed to ask such questions on an application.
No, not an application, but you could do. I'm just wondering. So, essentially, you're saying there is no background check for any employee.
Is there somebody in particular you're questioning?
I think we should check the policy and procedures manual. I didn't bring it tonight, so.
Or what? I wanted to know what actually is done. You just hired somebody. What was the background check?
We only hired him part-time, and I don't think we did a background check.
I don't think we've ever done a background check.
Okay. But I'll check the procedures and see if we did it wrong. Maybe we did it wrong. Okay.
I didn't say you did. I just asked a question. I'm not accusing anyone.
We didn't do it.
Just ask, is there one? Is there one? Okay.
We did check his license to operate the water plant, and he had one of those.
He had one of those. Okay. I'm just asking a question. That's all, then.
Okay.
You don't have to defend anything.
I think ordinarily if someone's a licensed professional, that the license could have been revoked if they were
I don't know.
The short answer is we don't know right now, but we'll find out.
But none was done on the last one. Okay.
But we checked his license to make sure that
his
he
license
had one.
As soon as he has. Okay. Just a comment I have in terms of what, and maybe I misunderstood, Mayor, what you said, that if we build a building, we'll have a lot of people in the fire department, but they won't be here if we don't build a building?
That's right.
So they're essentially holding us hostage or extorting a building out of us to volunteer?
That's an interesting way of putting it. We have a number of firefighters who left. They were annoyed primarily because they didn't believe that the town supported them and that they had been maligned by some of the people opposed to the bond. So they left. They are willing to come back if, in fact, we have a building they can use. If we have that building, it cannot be used, and therefore they will not come back. There's no sense in them leaving where they are and coming back if they don't have facilities. That's their view.
But they were welcomed by the Millstone.
But they'll let
Parton, right?
So that, to me, that says that they'll let some, if, God forbid, there were a fire inside a house, they'd let that house burn. Because they didn't get
on the
a
fire
building.
Department.
Right. I mean, but they won't be on the fire department, but if they get their building, okay, that's bizarre to me.
No, it's actually pretty clear to them that if the 4-bay is voted down, we will have a contract with Millstone. So there's no need for them. I don't consider that to be holding us hostage. Well, they're saying if you need a fire department, we will come. If the town decides it doesn't want a fire department, we won't come.
We have a fire department now, don't we? We don't?
Do we?
We have a very small fire department.
I heard there are 4 people, the 2 Sooks and the 2 Lennarts. Is that correct?
That may be correct. No, I think there's another.
Okay.
But
which
Mr.
is,
Mark
so the interest is.
Did say that every Roosevelt volunteer firefighter would be welcome.
They're welcome in Millstone. They're welcome in Hightstown.
Right.
The issue is.
But we're discussing contracting to Millstone, so he was very clear that they would be welcome.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't understand the point.
Well, you're saying that they wouldn't come back if we didn't have a building, but they could fight fires in Roosevelt if they belonged to the Millstone Squad.
I believe the question was whether they were holding us hostage and otherwise acting in an evil manner.
I didn't
by
say
saying,
evil. I just
oh,
find
you
that
went beyond evil.
No, I don't think that's evil. I didn't say evil. I think that's I
holding
would not
us hostage is,
do
is
something.
Kind of.
Well, that's the way
yeah,
I
nice
see
comment.
It. Build a building, or we won't volunteer. Have a building.
Now.
No, they don't have a building. The building won't hold the fire trucks. It doesn't have a bathroom.
Well,
it doesn't have a gym.
Well, back to that last meeting. The
right.
Roof, fix the roof and get the insurance for the back wall.
I'm sure we can do it.
Code
I'm sure
compliant.
We can do it for $20.
Well, no, the roof probably costs $20,000. But then it would be code compliant again, and they have
no,
a building.
It wouldn't
not
be code compliant.
To start.
That building
so
cannot be made code compliant. Back
exactly.
Fire.
We just keep going through the same sort of.
Cannot be made code
well,
you don't believe the engineer. She doesn't believe anything
no.
she hears.
On
that basis.
She has a name.
The state of New Jersey is the one who inspects code, not you.
Yeah,
so,
and they've inspected
and they've
us.
Been inspecting
and look
us.
At it behind you. Two violations. Have you read it?
Okay. You don't understand
but
what they're inspecting, okay? They do a specific checklist, okay? It doesn't meet the standards for a critical building. Don't care. It's not on the checklist. I do tires. Your engine's not working. Don't care. I do tires. All right? They came through. They have a checklist. You take. I use this example in the public meetings. You go. Your car gets towed into STS. They put it up on the lift. They say you need 4 tires and 2 shocks. $600. You go, great. Car comes off. It's got beautiful tires. Damn engine doesn't run because that's not what they do. So they don't look to see. Now, the building inspectors here are quite willing to condemn that building.
Which
we've been holding them off.
Who's the building?
The state inspectors are quite willing to condemn that building. It won't fit a fire truck. It just won't fit a fire truck unless you get a single fire truck, 4 guys.
I'd love my house to have 2 bathrooms, but I can't afford it. But anyway,
you're not running.
We'll go back and forth on this, you know, on it. We can go forever. People that have a lot of money think it's a low amount of money to spend. People that don't have a lot of money think. I think I have a solution that nobody was going to like, but all the yes voters should pay double, and let the no voters pay nothing. Build your building. Everybody's happy.
I'm up for that.
I would go for it. Everybody's happy then.
By the way,
everyone.
Do you know what the pro rata cost is for doing your road? Would you like the numbers on what it costs? Your road. Why the hell should I pay for your road? When we go out and we do a project for $1.2 million to redo Tamara, why should I pay for it? I don't use Tamara. Right?
Well, I don't know. I'm not asking you to pay for it.
Oh, yes, you are. You're saying, well, you know, if you want fire protection that you're going to be entitled to, we should pay for it.
No, I didn't. I said we have fire protection right now.
No,
we don't have the building.
Okay.
So that I don't see how you could say we don't have fire. Do we have it today? Anyway,
we have it today. If you vote them down, you won't have it.
I would like to know if you're going to follow and I guess this is really to Jill, but I have to direct to the chair that if you're going to follow the ballot question, which doesn't give anyone the opportunity to vote no on either of these questions, why didn't you follow the referendum result?
Referendum was a tie. That's hardly a
mandate.
No.
It was.
It's
wait.
Hardly a mandate.
Well, you're not going to. If you get 100, are you going to get 157 votes in favor of A or B? You think you're going to get them?
Or 300 in favor of A and B. Whatever.
You may get 0 in favor of one and 2 in favor of the other.
Okay.
And you're going to follow the 2.
Sure.
But you wouldn't follow 157. That's my question. I don't see the logic.
Well, what we did was when the referendum passed, we went back and said we need to sharpen our pencils and really look at what all the issues are.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we had were a series of meetings. I spent a lot of time in this room, listened to a lot of experts. We did homework ourselves. And we came out with, I think it was a series of 6 different alternatives. The committee said, well, we should recommend just 1 or 2 of these. So the committee recommended to the council that these were the ones, and we voted on them. You can see what our votes were
in
the back of the book.
See.
And, you know, I was listening really carefully to people like Jeb Shahn, who said, we really can't afford this, so we want the lowest cost alternative. So that was one of the alternatives, and it's the one that Bob Francis talked about, the 4-bay. It is the lowest cost of everything that was examined. However, we said, you know, people do seem to want to contract out for our fire department. There was a tremendous sense of keeping the first aid squad. We can certainly look at alternatives to how we fund the first aid squad as they come up, Jeff. But for right now, we want to keep the first aid squad. So the other alternative was to contract with Millstone for the fire department, keep our first aid squad, and just build a 2-bay building. The costs are the costs that our engineer found. With the resolution that we passed tonight, we can also consider the garage, the old garage property. which has come up again and again in these meetings as, you know, this would change the gateway to our community if we had built over there. So we asked the experts, who was our planning board, for their opinion on that to bring it back to the council. We did not ignore people. We did not ignore the referendum. But the questions that are on the ballot are the two best possible alternatives that we could come up with that give people a real choice. What do you want to do about that fire department? The professionalism, I've been so impressed with the professionalism of the Millstone Fire Squad. I would feel comfortable very much contracting with them for our fire services. So if that's what the voters say is what they'd like, I'm fine with that. But when I consider the senior citizens in town, the people on fixed income, I have to look at that the lowest possible price for having coverage so that people will respond if you have an emergency, it's to build the four bay. Now, we have talked with our code enforcement officials about could that building be renovated, in addition to talking to all the engineers And the code officials say that if you modify a building greater than 50%, that you must bring it up to current code conditions. And that requires the oil separator. That requires the bathrooms. That requires so many of these other ancillary things that we can't just go with what people have been calling the Home Depot fix. We have to bring the facility up to code. And so these are the two best alternatives. And whatever the voters say they would like to proceed with, contracting with Millstone, going with the four bay, I will work to implement that for our town.
What if the voters want to vote no to each of them? What about those voters? You're not going to listen to them because they don't have an option.
Because voting no is not an option. Because there is no no vote, Maureen. There really is not a no vote.
I know. I saw the ballot. There isn't one. How about the minority report is not an option either.
And the minority...
The option you put on there is the option the council passed and was voted down at the referendum. That is the option. Same exact number. It's exact same number. $571,000.
It's the exact same number if you build a four-bay garage.
Right.
Yes. Actually, it's gone up a little
bit.
And then
you set it up so that you wouldn't separate contract with Millstone. If you had separate, and you can't vote no, and then you're saying, oh, this is the will of the people. It's just, I mean,
no,
whatever.
There's
no point in talking.
We're saying that we have to do something. And the minority report, as I understand it, recommended a single small truck with a crew of four. Millstone has said very clearly, and I believe you were in that room when they said it, that is not mutual aid, and we will not do that.
But okay? It's not up to them. And they don't
yes,
put
it is
everything,
up to them.
All the things you're saying as an attorney, well, they can just refuse to sign a mutual aid agreement.
They said mutual aid requires mutual aid.
But they don't.
And you can't provide mutual aid, therefore we're not going to do
that. They're not the arbiter in the state of New Jersey for who satisfies mutual aid. They're just not. And anything you say, put it in writing from the source of whoever said it. Not, I talked to this one, and he told me that, and he told me that. A written thing, that's something in writing attributed to whomever it is that wrote it, is something that I will pay attention to. But just sitting here saying, well, this guy said that, and that guy said that.
You were in the room when he said it.
It's
you
not
asked,
up to him.
The question was asked. The chair of the Millstone Fire Commission answered directly and said, that will not be sufficient for mutual aid. I'm not making it up. I'm not reconveying something that you weren't there for.
I don't recall that, but I believe you. You're telling me that's what he said. Maybe I left before he said it, but anyway.
Well, he asked that question at the town meeting, and that's
right.
What he said.
I believe
it may not be exact words, but that's what
I believe is what he said, but I guess what I'm saying is that we're getting mutual aid right now.
Because we have a fire department.
And so we have to keep exactly what we have, and we'll continue with mutual aid. It's four people. You just told me it's four people.
We have to increase They're being nice.
Told me it's four people, and now we have it. So, but all of a sudden, it's gonna disappear.
If the town votes that they're gonna go to Millstone, then we won't have a fire department. Why would we? That's what the town just voted. We don't want the local fire department. We want to go with Millstone. Okay. Why? If you're a firefighter, you're a volunteer firefighter. Okay. You go to drills. You put in a lot of time. You get up in the middle of the night. You waste your weekends. And then we say, okay, we're going to contract with Millstone. We don't want Roosevelt Fire. Why would you say, okay, I'm going to stand here and be a fireman? You'd quit. Because there's actually, you wouldn't have to quit because there's no more fire department.
Right. Or you join Millstone.
Join Millstone. Mm-hmm. Just one other comment about what Jeff was talking about is that my husband had what the nurse described as a widowmaker heart attack about a year ago. And a paid ambulance, came, got him. He was taken to the hospital, had a stent in within 20 minutes. I guess I'm just saying that made me not. To, I mean, our you know, people are great. I couldn't do what they do in their, you know, I just think they're amazing to be getting up in the middle of the night doing it. But that's when somebody is paid, that person, they are going to be there. And you don't know that a volunteer is going to be capable of being there.
Well, I had a stent, and it was Roosevelt that showed up. My kids get sick, it's Roosevelt that shows up. We have an accident down the road, it's Roosevelt that shows up. The guy comes down Paradise Hill on his bike, flips over, breaks several bones, it's Roosevelt who shows up. Roosevelt shows up in, I think it's 90-something percent of Roosevelt calls and actually covers 85% of Millstone calls.
Right.
That's pretty darn
good. I think they're great. But
Millstone
I'm saying
doesn't have a crew.
I would support their getting paid.
I'm in favor
and
of yeah.
and
I
we may and we may go that. Forward with that, but I'd really like to get one thing under our belt, which is this vote.
I guess I'm
weeks.
Just saying the money that you're building the building could be spent to pay people.
And then when you get a good squad, not a good squad, they are a good squad. When you get a bigger squad with specific shifts that they know they have to be here, they have to work that shift, then you can.
And how do we answer? And then how do we answer the state? So the other thing that I wanted to say, Maureen, is that we have received the safety violations, which are the ones that you saw that are posted over there. We have not received the health violations yet, and we have been told verbally what will be in the letter, but we haven't received them. So that's why you're not seeing all of the noncompliance issues for the health violations. But we have to answer both of those before we can wait to see if we're going to pay our squad or billing or all of these other things. We have to really do something within 30 days, within 2 weeks, within – they have different time frames for compliance. We have to deal with that.
I know. I saw them. But they could have put the roof on and had the insurance and fixed the wall, and then there wouldn't be any –
But the health violations we're saying are still coming, and those are the violations that have to do with the mold and the – and the oil-water separator and all the other things which are not included on that particular letter.
And the other
so there's more to come.
Okay. And the other thing is that we keep getting to, well, all we have to do is put on a roof. No, the basic discussion that we had was we have to put on a roof, we have to expand the doors, we have to fix the wall. In order to get rid of the mold and the water, we have to put in an oil separator. And then that oil separator has to be run from the building all the way out to the stormwater. That's how you get rid of the water. When you get to get rid of the mold, you have to get rid of the moisture. To get rid of the moisture, you have to move the generator out of the way. You have to bring bulldozers around the building. You have to grade out, and you have to put in French drains. So, you know, it's part of my frustration when people say, well, you know, I got a guy down the street who isn't licensed, isn't insured, isn't worth using prevailing wage, all the regulations that we as a government are bound to. It's not a question of just putting some tiles on. I mean, it's a lot more. And the estimate isn't, you know, the estimates we're getting aren't cheap, and we still haven't gotten the health codes. And we know the health codes are going to include, they're going to include exhaust, they're going to include more mold issues, they're going to include, you know, just a whole slew of things. We were sending them reports every day, much to my chagrin, because I wanted to issue the damn report so that we can respond to it. But in the end, it still comes back to, okay, if we do that, do we then still have to make it a Category 4 building? FEMA Category 4 building because it's a, quote, critical building. And that's where we start running into, okay, where's the bathroom, where's the... So it's not that people here got up one morning. I pay the same taxes you do. Right? It's not that we got up one morning and said, gosh, let's build a building. It was, it originally started with Tom Curry and I sitting out there trying to figure out how we were going to fix that building and how we were going to fix that building, and somebody saying, hey, have you looked into steel pole buildings? Right? And the cost of that project was less than the numbers we were looking at on the other buildings. It didn't just come, you know, because I want a building. I don't care about buildings. What I care about is providing for the volunteers or getting volunteer, you know, getting services from elsewhere. And that's why I keep saying, as far as, you know, Alan Malik was talking about, you know, he thinks there are advantages to having a fire department in town, social and other. So do I. Do I think that we could also get service from Millstone? I do. The numbers aren't changing. I mean, you heard them talking about, well, this is what, and the last thing they said as we walked out the door was, yeah, but we're still at 9.5. So, you know, we're pushing them for changes, but they're pushing back. And they have good reasons not to cut us a break.
Yeah, for their own political. That's why I asked the Millstone guy, and he said that the commissioners had made the decision, and they were the ones who had the authority to make it.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, we keep going back, and I keep pushing them back on time. You know, what's the ramp time, all the rest of it. But you know, they're not going to suddenly come out and say, you know, $5,000. And when we run those numbers, I know somebody stood up and said it was $4,000 a call or something like that. But if you run the numbers and you include everybody, you include first aid and fire, it comes out to, I don't know, it's like $300 average. And even when you separate out and you say, okay, the difference between, part of what Bob was going to, is the difference between a two-bay and a four-bay is about $130,000, give or take. Okay? If you divide that by the number of calls over 20 years, it comes out in the $400 range. If you take Millstone Fire and take that same number of calls, you're up to $5,000 because we're paying a lot more for the coverage. So it's not an easy decision. Okay, it's not like there are a lot of, we're facing a lot of choices, right? And as Jill said, it's not that we don't listen. It's not that we're not empathetic. It's not that if I could do it that way, I would prefer to do it that way. I just think, and based on what the experts have told me, the numbers that I'm getting, that is the better way to go. People disagree. It's Roosevelt. People disagree about everything. Okay,
well,
we disagree about cats. We disagree about water. We disagree about everything. So, you know, it's not a. I have been very upset, and I know a lot of people have, about, you know, the sort of level of animosity, and I do wish that would level out, because there, you know, there are honest disagreements about what we should do and what's the best thing to do. I've lost friends. I know other people in this room have lost friends over it, and it's not worth it. It's not worth it. The bottom line is, you know, cover us for fire and first aid, and I'm thrilled. And if I got to pay more, I'll pay more. But I'm not the person on the fixed income. Right? I have options at this point, and not everybody does. So, yeah, sure.
No, I thought, not really on topic, but did you want to make an announcement that there's another council meeting Wednesday night? I don't know if everyone's aware of that.
There's another council meeting on Wednesday night, the 26th, to consider what the planning board does. Planning board meets tomorrow.
There
yes.
is?
Yeah.
What's
we announced
tonight?
It. We noticed it, but obviously people didn't get that. So
no.
Yes. There's a meeting on the 26th, Wednesday.
Thanks, Peggy. I will be late. Until 7.
We will not refer to you as the late Stacey Blunt.
Jill, thank you very much. That was very well said. Very well spoken. Thank you. It made sense, a little bit more sense to me, what I heard. And I understand what you were trying to say after. Even that made a little bit more sense. Not that I agree with you.
It's okay.
It's okay.
But I understand. And it's, I mean, whatever. Whatever. I just, you know, for me, I. Or disagree, that's, you know, it is what you guys will do. I just wanted you other ways to think about it just in the long.
Thank you.
Volunteer time. And there's a lot of animosity. There's a lot of ill will. For myself, spoken, it's only been a public health issue. The rest is, you know, numbers and this and that. If I agree or don't agree or whatever, it's all, you know, ugly and everything. But you're a very, in regard to the mirror, you're a very nice looking group of counselors.
I think for everybody, it's ultimately health, and everybody's base concern is health and safety. They see different ways of getting there, but everybody ultimately wants to come out with the best solution for health and safety. I think that's every intuition.
Would anybody like to make a motion?
Motion to adjourn.
Please.
Second.
Anybody opposed? Richie's still awake.